Long ago, in a kingdom far to the east, King Shariad ruled. Now, he was a good king. He was wise, and he was just, and he was brave. And so that kingdom was happy and prosperous and safe for, oh, many, many years. But then, it was a horrible day. The king discovered that his wife, whom he loved as much as any man ever loved woman, his wife had been unfaithful. Now, in those harsh times, the penalty for what she did was death. And that penalty was enacted, and that should have ended it. But no, he was too hurt. He was too insulted. He could not let go of that. How could she? How could she? How could she? And he began to look for evidence of other women's deception. And you know, what you look for, you find. And he became aware that other women had in fact deceived other men. And as he amassed that evidence, he made a most terrible conclusion. He decided that all women, yes, all women, would be unfaithful. And if all women would inevitably earn the penalty, then it made sense to him in his mind that before he had to suffer the humiliation of the act, he should simply enforce the penalty. And so each night he took a new bride, and each morning he sent her to the executioner. The kingdom was not such a happy place anymore. Maidens trembled in fear. Their mothers wept. Their fathers, strong, bold warriors, would humble themselves on their knees before the king, begging him to stop. But the king may do what the king will do, and no one could put a stop to it. Families that could sent their daughters far away to live with friends and be safe. Other families tried to hide their girls within the inner walls of their homes. But one by one, brides were taken and killed. Finally, the day came. The wazir knew this day was coming, the king's trusted advisor. It was his job to bring the brides, and he couldn't find any. He had searched and searched, and there were no young maidens to be had. And he paced. What will the king do tonight when I have to tell him there will be no bride for his bed? And as he paced, into his study came his daughter, Scheherazade. Now, she was beautiful, and she was definitely a maid, but she was safe. Because of her father's wonderful service, the king had promised that none of his daughters would be taken. But she could not be happy in her own safety. Not when everyone else was in such danger, not while the kingdom was being ruined. And she had made her own plan. "Father," she said, "I will be tonight's bride. I will end this or die in the attempt." He tried to reason with her. "Daughter, you can't do that. You can't possibly think you can defeat our king. He is a warrior. You are a little girl. There is nothing you can do." And "Daughter, think whose sad, sad job it is each morning to escort the brides to the executioner. We can't have your own father have to do this." But she was a really stubborn person. She had made up her mind. Finally, she stomped her foot. She said, "I will take myself to the king. I will offer myself as a bride." Well, the shame and the hope that he could somehow talk the king out of it, the wazir went. He told him of his daughter's offer. He pleaded with him to say no. But the king, he was a man, you know. He was intrigued. She was the most beautiful of all, and she was safe, and she was willing to come to him, knowing she would die the next morning. He said yes. Of course he said yes. And that night, there was a wedding supper, such as you've never seen. They had lit every light and polished every lamp to try to celebrate what could not really be celebrated. People said that despite that, when they looked across the room, it was like there was a dark cloud over everything. And you know, the musicians, they tried to play with their full heart, but the music came out dull and tentative. And the cooks, they had cooked all their best food, everything they could think of that might tempt. People said it was like sawdust in their mouth as they ate. And when they saw the royal couple stand up from the table and walk toward the royal bedchamber, there was an audible sigh from every person in the room. They did not want to see her go. Well, she had a plan. Of course she had a plan. She hadn't told her father, but she had told her little sister, Dunyazad. Smaller, but no less brave than her older sister. In the middle of the night, the king was awakened by the sound of weeping. Puzzled. Oh, other brides had wept, but other brides had not volunteered. Demanded an explanation. Oh, your majesty, it's not that I'm not prepared for my own fate in the morning. I am. But I have a sister. She is so dear to me. We have never been apart, and I've not really had a chance to say goodbye to her. Could she be brought here? It's almost dawn. It will be my last chance. Could I say goodnight to my little sister, goodbye forever to my little sister? And the king thought, what harm in a child? The guards went. They brought the little girl. They made a little bed next to the big royal bed, and then Dunyazad remembered what she was supposed to do. Sister, I'm afraid. This isn't our home. Could you tell me a story like you do at home so I won't be so afraid? Well, Scheherazade looked to the king for permission, and what harm is there in a story? He nodded, and she began. A story of a merchant who was captured by an evil genie. And the jinn said, if three friends would come and tell stories the jinn had never heard before, he would spare the merchant's life. And she began the first friend's story. And it was interesting. And without seeming to be listening, the king was listening. But then, just as she got to the really exciting part, the first light of dawn came through the window, and Scheherazade fell silent, for her stories were only for the night. Dunyazade leapt to her feet. Oh, sister, thank you. Thank you for your final story to me. I will always remember it. Oh, little one, that is kind of you to say, but surely you know it's not finished. Oh, and I guess now it never will be. Well, remember that unfinished story then. You know, even if it were finished, it's not half the story the second friend tells. But I'm glad you liked it. I love you, sister. Well, that day, the king went to court. He made many proclamations. He gave many orders. But somehow, in the course of that day, he forgot to give the order for the execution of his wife. No one said a word. The wazir, that dear man, had brought the most beautiful silk embroidered cloth, you know, with which to wrap his daughter's body. And there he stood, holding that empty cloth. So puzzled, so relieved. That night there was, unheard of, a second wedding supper. The people said there was a little flavor in the food. The people said the room looked a little brighter. And everyone said the music had a tinge of hope. As they watched Sherazade join the king for a second night of wedded bliss. And she ended that first friend's story. And she started that second story, and it was, as she promised, even better. And just when she got to that part, you know, that part where you've got to hear what comes next. You've just got to hear it. The light of the sun came through the window again, and again she fell silent. Now, Sherazade, as I said, was beautiful, and she was stubborn. She was also very smart. She had read every book in her father's library. When a visiting storyteller or poet came, she sat and listened. She had many stories, and that was why she could continue for 1,001 nights telling story after story. She told about Sinbad braving every danger to get home to his family who loved him. She told of Ali Baba and the 40 thieves. He would have been killed by those 40 thieves, except for the help of a faithful female servant. She told of Aladdin and his lamp, which he used to save his beloved. And story by story, night by night, the king's heart began to heal. And you know, I don't often do math, but with 1,001 nights, there was time for some children to come, and he learned to love them too. Sherazade means savior of the people, and Sherazade saved her people, not with a sword, but with story.